Let's check in with the twins. It's Twinning with Sissany.
It's July 30th, 2021. What up? It's Sissany. Welcome to another episode of Twinning with Sissany, brought to you by American Career College. When being your best matters. I am joined today by a very famous man. He's connecting to audio right now. That's you. Yes. Dr.
What's going on? My wife saw you all with Ryan on some show and she said, there is no way she's making it to Friday to talk to you.
Yes, I am
that
very
is not
pregnant.
Gonna happen.
I am very pregnant right now. Dr. W. Chris Winter, welcome to my podcast. How are you?
I am fantastic. More interested in how you are.
I'm very pregnant and I'm still here. I keep thinking I'm feeling contractions, but they're not, and it's wishful thinking.
You know the baby is picking up on your schedule. So I feel like when it's she, right?
Yes, she.
When she's able to talk, she and I are going to have to get some things worked out because she is very much on your schedule right now.
So basically a no sleep schedule.
That's right. She's going to be an awesome radio TV host one day, or trauma surgeon, one or the other.
You know, when Dr. Winter and I met, when we met like maybe a few months ago, Dr. Chris, when we met, you just want me to call you Chris? You earned that doctor title.
I only make my mother call me Dr. Winter. She's the only one. You can call me whatever you want.
All right. Well, Chris, now we're there.
There we go.
When you and I met like a few months ago, and he's basically like kind of you're evaluating me and seeing like how my sleep is and this and that. And after like we started chatting for a little bit, he basically called me out as a liar. And he was like, yeah, so like all the times you told me you did go to bed, like you're not really going to bed at 10, 10:30, are you? And I was like, no, I'm not.
Oh my gosh, not Sissany, never.
No. You know, I think I called you out as a liar in a very kind and doctorly way, though.
It was, yes, it definitely was. And then the truth finally came out. I was like, well, there's nights I go to bed like at midnight and then I wake up at 5. So, you've got a lot going on right now, and that's why you're on, and I feel like it was very fitting for my podcast, which a lot of moms and dads listen to, a lot of parents listen to, and sleep is something that sometimes we kind of put in the back burner, I feel, right?
I think, yeah, it's a good, yes, absolutely. Sometimes,
we don't prioritize
it. Yeah, I think it's important sometimes to sort of look at things from the perspective of we're going to try to do the right thing. But in all of our lives, particularly when we're young, things go sideways and we have to kind of develop a strategy for I'm going to try to do the right thing, eat the right thing, exercise the right way, sleep the right way. But when I can't, you know, what can I do and what do I need to look out for to know if there is something, you know, really problematic going on? And I think that educators, physicians, and parents are never really given instructions about their kid beyond how to get them to sleep through the night. It's kind of like, once you get your child sleeping through the night, you're good until menopause. Like, that's kind of the message we give people. And I think that there's a big gap between cradle to college that we're missing.
So that's what your new book, The Rested Child, is about. And it's coming out in a few weeks. And I guess I've never really thought about it because you're right. Like, I got the kids sleeping through the night. They're 3 years old now. Occasionally, they wake up.
On the travel sports. It's like, get the kids sleeping through the night and get them on a travel soccer team and you're done.
Totally. And so I feel like they're okay. But yeah, they have their moments where they wake up and they crawl into our bed. Like, is that considered them not sleeping well or is that a habit?
It can be both. And we talk about that in the book. You know, in the earlier chapters, that's a big problem that that parents have, particularly if your kids can learn, they learn to walk before they learn, you know, kind of common sense and how to deal with certain things. And we were just talking about this the other day that one of the things I talked about in the book was, you know, trying to figure out things that aren't punishments, but just things that you can sort of institute in your home that make your child think twice before walking to the bedroom. In our house, it was like cleaning spiders out of the garage or cleaning up a toilet. you know, if they came in, we'd be like, oh, I'm so glad you're here at 3 o'clock in the morning because I was getting ready to clean some toilets and now you can help me. So we got to the point where I know they were waking up in the middle of the night going, oh, I kind of want to wake daddy up and tell him I can't sleep, but I really don't like cleaning toilets. So maybe I'll just stay in my room.
Hey, and that works.
We always
That's
did it
genius.
With a smile. You know, it wasn't stressful or meant to be a punishment. It was just kind of like, and I think our kids still to this day think that we clean toilets at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I think that's what they think mommy and daddy do at night. I don't know.
That was kind of one of my next questions is like, how did you adapt all the stuff that you write about in your books, like to your own life? I'm assuming that they're your guinea pigs.
They are. And one time I went camping with some, you know, other families and, you know, when our kids were little and they just, at one point they just got up, put their s'more sticks down and got into their tent and went right to sleep. And the parents, you know, one of them said to me, God, you're so lucky. Your kids are such good sleepers. I'm like, sister, there is no luck involved in that at all. They are all trained. I have no idea what kind of people they will be like when they grow up, but they can sleep. So I think it's, you know, it's a skill that you can teach your kids for sure. It's not that hard. You know, kids have to eat. They have to drink some water, breathe some air, and they have to sleep. So you got that going for you right off the bat.
The only time my kids tell me that they want to go to bed is when they're sick. I've noticed that. And like they just started preschool like a month ago, and they've been sick basically for like a month. On and off. And my son especially, he just comes to me, and if he's not feeling well, he's just like, Mommy, I want to go to bed now. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And there's awesome research about, sure, when people, and grandmothers have been telling us this for years, mm-hmm. you know, when you get sick, you gotta get some sleep and drink some chicken soup. And now the research is sort of catching up with that. And we know that the reverse relationship, it works as well too, that for children, you know, young kids, teens that sleep more and sleep better, they're less likely to get sick and actually less likely to get injured, which is so interesting to me. We see that a lot with the professional sports teams that we work with, that their athletes that sleep well tend to be on the disabled list a lot less than the ones that don't.
Wow. I mean, it all makes sense. I mean, how many hours should an adult be getting of sleep and then versus a child?
Yeah, that question, child is tough because during those first few years of life, sort of the span of my book, birth until, you know, heading out of the house, thank God, kind of situation, the amount that they're sleeping is changing radically. I mean, it's obviously decreasing. You know, the infant sleep is very different from a toddler, preschooler, you know, middle schooler sleep. So it's changing rapidly. But like, for instance, if you look up on the National Sleep Foundation's website and type in National Sleep Foundation, how much sleep should my kid get? You'll see that with each age range, there's a huge spectrum of sleep, you know, 9 to 14 hours kind of thing. So it's really important for parents to understand that because unfortunately, we tend to view the kids that sleep 14 hours as great sleepers, the 9 hour sleepers as terrible sleepers because they're in mommy and daddy's lives so much because they're only sleeping 9 hours a night. And for somebody like you, Sissany, who is obviously doing 3, 4, 7 jobs at the same time, my guess is you're somewhat of a short sleeper. I don't think you'd be the successful person you were if you required a lot more sleep than the average adult. And that's a genetic trait that gets passed on to your kids sometimes. So watch out.
Man, you say genetic trait, and I think instantly my dad, because that...
What did your dad do? I always ask patients, what did your parents do for a living? It's so interesting to hear what they do.
My dad was an accountant, CPA, and eventually a controller of a company. So he always handled finance for major companies throughout his career. But he worked in downtown Los Angeles, and we lived in Orange County, which is about an hour commute there and back every day. And he left before the sunrise and he came home 7, 8 o'clock at night, basically to avoid traffic. And then he'd eat dinner super late and he would go to bed by 10 or 11 and he'd be up at 4 a.m. again. And
we call it the horsepower gene.
Wow.
And I remember when we were in medical school, when we would look at the new applicants for our residency program, because these are the people you'd be on call with all night long. It was always less about smart and intelligence and more like, you know, I don't know about his horsepower. That other woman clearly has horsepower, but I don't know if Keith has the horsepower we need. So even though Keith makes straight A's in medical school, let's take the other applicant because I don't think Keith can hack being on call every other night. So horsepower gene is great because it allows you to get things done. You outwork everybody else.
Right.
But at some point, it can lead to sort of abusing yourself a little bit in terms of not getting quite the amount of sleep that you need.
So how do you force yourself to go to bed? Like, that's my issue.
You know, it's a great question, not just for kids, yeah, but for adults too. I mean, at some point, I think we all arrive at this point in our life where we say something like, just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. I remember one time my wife said, you know, we were talking about painting our basement in a house we used to have. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, I'll do it this week. And I was never doing it. And she finally said, my God, when are you going to do it? I said, I'll just do it tonight. So I just stayed up all night, painted the basement. And as I was putting the paint cans away, my kids were getting up and I just went to work. And that was kind of the decisions that I would make when I was young because I could do it. I got the horsepower gene, baby. It's lovely. But at some point when you're, you know, heading towards your 40s and 50s, you think this is not compatible with a long, healthy life. In fact, one of my mentors used to say 55 fly and die. And what he meant was people who did that kind of stuff were running triathlons, running businesses, doing all this great stuff. And then they die at 55 and nobody can figure out why. Well, and it's because you're not doing it. So it's a choice. You've got to, you know, do you exercise? Mm-hmm. And if you do, why? How did you make the time to do it? Do you brush your teeth? Do you have time to do that? Then, you know, what I always tell people is make the increment small. Yeah, if you're getting, you know, 5 hours of sleep, maybe you should be getting 7. Let's start with 5.5.
Yeah.
Just you know, one less Handmaid's Tale episode.
That's what it is.
Going, you know, I get it. Yeah, you going to bed and skipping that and watching it some other time. You know, 30 minutes, 20 minutes extra sleep for you or your kids multiplied over a 365 day calendar year is a lot of sleep. And that's where you want to make the difference. It always drives me crazy when doctors tell patients, you got to lose 100 pounds. No, you don't. You need to lose 5 pounds. And once you do that, we'll talk about the next 5 pounds. Yeah. And so when you tell people, you got to stop sleeping 5 hours, you need to get 8 or something like that, you're almost defeating the person before you ever start.
It's so
true. And kids are kind of like that too, I think.
Yeah. So back to the book, The Rested Child, like for parents that have, let's say your kid is easily irritable or has behavioral problems.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't have, tell me more about kids that are easily irritable. That's interesting. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, is that like an actual, you're right, because it feels like every child is that. So then when do you consider that something that you should be concerned about, or is it related to their sleep or when they act out in school or to you? Is it all sleep related?
Behavioral issues are generally the way kids sort of display sleep disturbances, mm-hmm, versus, you know, dad, the way he displays it is every time he goes to church or watches the Yankees play, you know, he's asleep on the couch, right? Kids don't do that. Have you ever seen a kid fall asleep in school? Kids actually often respond the opposite way to sleepiness. They look hyper. Mm-hmm. And we all know that. You go visit your mom and dad and you get home way too late and the kids are like running around with their underwear on their head at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're trying to corral them and get them to bed. They look anything but sleepy. And so I think as a parent or as a teacher, you know, when you see these things, lapses in concentration, like you said, irritability or emotionally labile, just a lot of outbursts, hard to attend to a task or concentrate or make a lot of errors and things that they probably shouldn't. These are classic signs of sleep disturbances. So, you know, before you travel down the, my kid has attention deficit disorder, he has a learning disability, I think a sleep evaluation is always appropriate. The worst case scenario is some smart sleep doctor in your town is going to say, no, your kid's a fantastic sleeper, in which case you check the box and move on with your life. But more often than not, you're going to find that there probably are things under there, especially if your gut as a parent tells you that there are. You know, your kid gets in bed with you and kicks and thrashes and screams. And don't ignore that. That's not normal behavior for anyone, particularly a child.
Yeah, that's good to know. What tips would you say that you have for parents that want to improve their child's sleep? Is it like ever related to diet and food and things they're eating?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many extraneous things that affect kids' sleep, not to mention, you know, a lot of kids in a few weeks, about the time my book comes out, are about ready to go back to a brick and mortar school for the first time in maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I remember looking at my children when they were in school and then suddenly out, they weren't getting up to go swim or row, which my kids did. Their first class was like 9:30. They'd wake up, turn on the computer, block the camera, mute themselves, and go right back to sleep again and never get out of their bed.
Wow.
Now they're going to have to be getting up, catching buses, going to grandma's house to wait for the bus, whatever, because everything's kind of going back to normal, which we're all excited about. Hopefully this is happening, but it's going to have really dire consequences for kids in their sleep, particularly since they're not used to it. So I think that schedules are important. Diet is incredibly important. What we eat in the morning in terms of giving us energy for the day, what mm-hmm. we eat before we go to bed in terms of facilitating sleep, these things are all incredible. It's amazing to me how many kids consume a lot of caffeine, you know, like Monster, Red Bull, energy, yeah. great. But you're drinking that before you go to bed at night because your parents let you do it. So I think there's a lot of things outside of intrinsic sleep disorders that are problematic. I mean, maybe you're a great sleeper, but your brother on the upper bunk has got restless leg syndrome and his constant movement or the drooling pug that snores and sleeps next to you is, you know, disrupting your sleep as well too.
Wow. Well, I feel like I can talk to you forever. When exactly is the book coming out?
So the book is available for pre-order already on it's Penguin Random House, but you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But it officially launches on a hardcover August 17th. And it was a passion project. Both of my parents and my wife are teachers. And I just think about teachers and all these sleepy kids that are getting ready to go back to school and the parents trying to deal with them. So the message that I would give to anybody who's got kids is, you often have to advocate for your children. When I went to medical school, I got a 1-hour lecture in 4 years on sleep. So don't assume that the person taking care of your child has a tremendous amount of expertise in the subject.
Yeah.
Most pediatricians I talk to say they never got any kind of lecture on it. So it's melatonin gummy bear and good luck, mom and dad.
Exactly. And we don't want to go that route if we don't have to,
right?
You don't
want to go that route.
Well, the book is called The Rested Child. Is your full name on there or does it just say Chris?
God, let me say something. Here's another tip. Here's a free tip for parents out there. Do not have your child go by his middle name. So my name is Chris Winter, William Christopher Winter. And for some reason, my books are always W Christopher Winter. So that is all the same person. That's just Chris. So yes, it's W Christopher Winter, The Rested Child, Why Your Tired, Wired, or Irritable Child May Have a Sleep Disorder and How to Help.
Check it out. It'll be out in a few weeks. And that's why we wanted to do this interview, because who knows where I'm going to be in a few weeks. This baby is coming out of me.
That's right. The book is on its way.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Really honored to be on here. And good luck with everything in your immediate future.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Bye now.
Love him. You know, Arianna Huffington actually called him the sleep whisperer.
Honestly, I feel like I could have asked him a million questions. I'm like, well, I have his email now.
So. Exactly. Your buddies. He's so nice.
He's the worst sleeper.
The nicest person ever. And the last time him and I spoke, I was saying we spoke for like an hour. It was supposed to be a 30-minute meeting. And we were like, it was over an hour. We were just, because I kept asking him questions about like, well, what happens to this? And like, why do I sleep like this? And
totally.
You know, why do I get up at night to pee? And all the questions.
I mean, for you, obviously, like having a newborn is going to make sleep very different than like your normal routine. But after that, how nice for you to hopefully get into a better sleep routine when you have three small children running around.
You know, Ace and Max are pretty good. It's like they don't really get up in the middle of the night. And if they do, they come straight to our bed and they just go straight to bed.
Right.
It's not like they want to like get in. Like Aza was starting to do this weird like chit chat thing where she would come in and just be like,
and you're like, no,
like, what are we doing? I'm like, it's 4 a.m. Get in the bed.
Yeah, we're not doing this right now.
So, I mean, and I tell them like, hey, they really like are responsive to what we kind of like our corrections, I guess. So like we said, look, I don't care if you come in the bed, but if you come, don't slam the door. Like they would come in and they would like slam the door. And then the next night they wouldn't do it. So they made the adjustments that we would talk about. Like,
and if we want to get in bed with them, we have to not slam the
door.
And
same with Aza. I was just like, if you come in, no talking. Okay. No talking. You just come in, you lay down, you can bring your Bobos, you can bring your stuffed animals and you can lay awake if you want. I just don't wake us up. And it's the exact same thing that Chris was just talking about right now, where it's just like, okay, if you're going to come in our bed, we're going to clean toilets.
So, right.
That, which I like.
If you're gonna come in our bed, we're not going to talk.
So I think like once they get older, if they still kind of do this weird, like I want to come and lay with you in your bed situation, I threaten them with cleaning toilets.
Right. Cause I'm like, at the point that you potentially have three trying to get in your bed with you, like, that's a lot.
It's so a lot.
It's so a lot.
Let me know that they're, well, I don't know. Who knows what happens, right? This week has been so nuts. What?
Yeah. Well, I just randomly thought, like, by the time baby girl can even get up on her own, she's going to need a big kid bed. Is that going to fit in that room?
Yeah, I have plans.
It could if you need it to. Okay.
It could if I need it to. We also have plans of moving Maxon into this room that I do my radio from.
Right.
And moving this setup, perhaps even my master bedroom.
Oh, good God.
I know. So that's like, and then just completely getting rid of our, or maybe still doing like a bunk bed situation in here for Maxon. So then like if we had my parents spend the night, then they just have to sleep with Maxon in his room. Like, it's fine.
I got you. So, okay, yeah, but your week. I need to hear so much more about your week. We've hardly talked.
I know. Why don't we take a break, actually, and we'll come back. Because, yes, I flew to New York and back within the last 4 days. So we got lots to discuss. You know, you can train to be a medical assistant at American Career College in as little as 9 months. Classes are available online and on the weekends. There's options for busy schedules. So if you're like my schedule and you think impossible, how could I ever go back to school? It is possible with American Career College. Plus, financial aid and scholarships are available to those who qualify. So get started at AmericanCareerCollege.edu. That is AmericanCareerCollege.edu. ACC cannot guarantee employment.
So you went to New York.
So I went to New York. I filled in for the beautiful Kelly Ripa. I'm always so honored and fortunate and grateful and all the above when they reach out and ask me to fill in for her. And it all kind of happened really fast. So about a week before I was supposed to do it, that's when they asked. And so, you know, I checked with my doctor. We talked about this last week. And then and she wasn't very excited, but we went and I'm okay.
And you're home.
And I'm home. And I'd be lying if I told you that I wasn't a little nervous on the plane. Kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? But I took it hour by hour. And the show went great. And we had so much fun. And it was like almost as another little baby moon that Michael and I got to take.
That's so nice. So you got there like on a Sunday and you flew back the Tuesday night after you filled in.
Yeah, exactly.
Tuesday night was what made me nervous for you.
Why?
You got delayed several hours. And in my mind, I was like,
this is it.
If they get delayed and then like, and then, you know, you go into labor on the plane when you could have already been home, like just all these things.
I know.
Yes. I worried about that for you.
I feel like, I mean, and obviously every pregnancy is different and you can never predict it, but like in my gut, I was like, if I went into labor on the plane, I can control it or I can.
You also weren't you're feeling different right now than you were even 3 days ago, right?
I know. And I feel like a lot of that's mental.
Probably.
You know, I'm a big believer, and I talked about this on the show. I was just like, I'm a big believer in like manifesting and like, I know that that's like maybe dumb to some people, but I truly like in my head, I was just like, I'm not having this baby in New York. Like I'm not having this baby in New York. And I kept repeating that mantra like every morning, every night. Like I would just kept saying it. I kept praying. I kept just like, you know,
putting it in the world,
putting it into the universe.
Yeah.
And I feel like I used all of my power, which I know I don't have power, but you know, I feel like I used all of my energy to get me through that trip. And as soon as I got home is when my body was like, okay, now you're sore. Now she's dropping. Now your pelvic hurts. Now you're feeling contractions. Now you're feeling like it's like all the things. So the last two nights I have been feeling, they're Braxton Hicks contractions. They're not consistent and they're not that painful. So I've definitely
Here's my question about Braxton Hicks though. Are they actually not real contractions or are they just contractions that are not yet labor?
They're contractions that are not yet labor, but also I am not a doctor and I don't know the exact term, but I know that they're not a reason to go to the hospital.
Right. Okay. But that doesn't mean they're not quote unquote contractions. They're just not labor.
Yeah. And like were so like sporadic. Some of I'd get like three in a row. They were all 2 minutes apart. And then the next one wouldn't come for like 25 minutes. So it was just kind of
a part is scary.
It is, but it's like, that's why you have to do the 5-1-1, the 4-1-1, where it's like,
right,
you have to have, and I said this wrong a few episodes ago, but now I know the correct term. So basically, let me, and it takes me a minute, but it is 4 minutes apart, 1 minute in length for 1 hour.
Oh, so you really got to be like.
So that's, yeah. So it's like you really have, like you really have to have the consistency of having contractions that are 4 minutes apart, 1 minute long for 1 hour. And that's okay. When you, that's when it's go time. And they don't start usually at 4 minutes. They usually start like at 8 minutes. And so then you do 8 minutes for an hour, 7 minutes for an hour. And it's just like, and then you get closer and closer and closer until you're in the 5-4 range. And then you should probably go to the hospital at that point.
Wow.
I know. I learned that in the birthing class refresher course that I took.
That you did from the pool.
Exactly. So we're not anywhere near that right now because it's nothing's lasting really for an hour and it's not consistent. And so
when you gave birth to the twins, you were not feeling great. You were definitely having Braxton Hicks for like, I would say, what, a week ahead?
Yeah. And that's normal. You can have them like weeks ahead.
No, totally. But how long did you, it was a week or was it longer that you had them?
Longer.
Okay. Okay. So this necessarily to you doesn't mean like it could be this weekend.
I don't think
so. I feel like it could be this weekend.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm actually going to the doctor in an hour, so I'll see her.
Oh, okay. So you'll know more. What if you go, are you bringing your hospital bag? What if you go and she's like, you know what? I think it's time.
I don't know. I mean, sure.
You should bring it.
It's packed. I should just have it in the car. You want to know what's so funny is our car, we have a really big SUV. It's like our bus, you know, like it's the three rows. We can fit all the kids in it. And that's going to be our car to transport our family around because we have three children now and always someone with us, whether it's our nanny or my mom or my parents or someone. So we took the car to the hospital, like when I had that scare when I fell.
Yeah.
And the freaking top of the car hit, like, you know how they say, like, when you go under the garage and it says, like, this is the clearance. So, so it had, like, it wasn't like, here's the clearance sign. And then it was like cement. It was like, here's the clearance sign. And then it was like a black pipe that was movable. So it's kind of was like a gracing clearance. Like this was like, so we hit it. We hit that black pipe, which we're like, so now we're for sure going to like hit something in this garage at some point.
Right.
Because when we were in it, you could see like all the piping, like was very close to our car, but we weren't hitting it until like Michael hit its speed bump and then we would hit it. And so,
oh my gosh, your car's not even that huge.
It's not. And it's like a standard SUV. Like we don't have crazy wheels on it. Like it's not like raised.
No.
So
it's like a raised Jeep.
Yeah, no. So we're like, oh, well, we definitely should not bring this car. And
no,
we don't have another car at this point. So that's the car we have to bring.
All right. Well,
so we just have to drive really slow when we go in.
Yeah, my gosh.
Unless like we can bring Michael's car. He has a sedan, which I guess, but we already have the car seat already in there and it's the whole thing. So
yeah, the car seat thing. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but what are you doing with the twins?
I know.
When you go into labor.
So his brother and my sister-in-law are like our go-to backups. Like they're like,
they're so close.
They live like less than 5 minutes of driving away. Like, just down the street. So their go-to, like, call them. If it's the weekend, we might be screwed because, you know, they're young and they brunch and they, you know, have their lives and they don't have kids and they're newlyweds and they go to weddings every weekend and travel. So who knows? But so that's our, I guess, our first call to, like, get here quick. And then our nanny,
everyone else is like an hour
away. Our nanny's like pretty much on call, but she's like an hour away, like 45 minutes. Away. So there's that. There's my parents. So we just need someone to get here to be with the twins for like an hour until the actual person who's going to stay with them overnight and all that comes.
You have my permission to call me if your sister and brother-in-law are not available.
All right. Noted.
I am around. I could handle them for an hour.
Careful what you wish for.
No, I could handle them for an hour for sure.
Yeah. Until it's like 4 a.m.
Like, I probably wouldn't pick up.
Oh, terrible.
No, my phone's always on silent. I live life on the edge, okay?
I could never live with the do not disturb on my phone in the middle of the night.
I know.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's gonna like happen this week. I kind of would want it to, but I'm 37 weeks on Sunday, and they consider that a safe period to give birth.
And you technically, if all goes as long as it goes, work for 2 more weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I work for 2 more weeks.
Okay.
Which is like kind of seems a long, like a long time. So with the twins, like my due date was May like 28th or something. Like it was like Memorial Day or Memorial Day weekend, I remember. And I ended up taking maternity leave a month before my due date because she's like, twins come early, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I started my maternity leave that Monday, I guess, and they were born that Wednesday. So
God, was your body listening to you again?
It was just like all ready to go. I felt so prepared for when the twins were born, like work-wise. I felt like I handled like all things I needed to handle. I had recorded all my commercials that were going to get me through my maternity leave. I had called all the right people. Everyone knew. Like, it was just very like all handled. And right now I feel like if I went into labor tomorrow, I feel like a lot of people would be screwed because I haven't finished a lot of things that I need to get done. And I don't know how this happened, but I guess maybe because I picked my maternity start date so close to my due date that.
But not really.
No, I mean,
it's like a whole 9 days technically, right? Seven days a week, whatever.
Yeah, a weekish before.
I also think that's like a pandemic thing. Is like if you were in person, I bet you so much more would be like hashed out quicker. You know, it's just
maybe it's a whole like out of sight, out of mind situation. But I keep emailing, you know, some of the salespeople that work with us, and I'm just like, hey, so just so you know, like, you know, next week would probably be like the best week to get these commercials done and. Let's get this done before I'm like, if I go into labor, then that's it. Like even scheduling music, like I'm scheduling, our boss is out of town right now. So she's on vacation and she and I handle the music on Kiss. And I'm like, what happens if I go into labor? And like, I didn't finish scheduling the weekend. Like I'm just like, my brain is literally like, I'm like in my head thinking I need to bring my work computer to the hospital with me to get birth so that I can schedule music once I have the baby. Like that's where my head's at right now.
Oh my gosh.
Which I can't do because it's legal.
No.
As soon as this baby comes out of me, it's like I have to, my email gets shut off, like everything. It's like I have no communication to iHeartMedia. Like it is like I'm ghosted. Yeah.
That's so weird.
It's pretty gnarly.
That is gnarly.
I had to switch my contacts over. So when I had the twins, I had all my contacts for my phone through my work email. Do not recommend it. And so it was great because it's like a backup. And like if I ever lost my phone, I always had my contacts. I never lost my contacts.
Right.
Well, it wasn't until I got pregnant with the twins and they were going to shut everything off, which basically was going to cut off all of my contacts on my phone. So Easton, actually, one of our engineers, he helped me transport everything. I don't even know how the hell he did it. I think I gave him access to my computer and he just like moved everything around and. Oh now I have all my contacts on my iCloud. So
there's so much that goes into just having a child, like so much beyond the like growing and having a child.
Thing. Oh yeah. Wait till you have to like fill out all the EDD forms, like through the state and like it's employment disability. Durka. I don't know. Like it's basically like how you get paid from the state for your disability.
Right.
Which and is
also
already
why is it considered a disability?
It's just considered a disability, like short term, long term, whatever. Family leave, that's another one. There's like all these avenues that you get paid from the state and then your work compensates the difference. So you get like a maxed out at whatever cap you're at, and then your work will compensate whatever the difference is, and you use your sick days or your vacation days through that, et cetera, et cetera.
Just feels like it should be easier.
It's
just
not.
Feels like
it's not. And I remember when I had the twins, I was like in tears over it because I had like the whole folder with all the papers. I remember, and I was like, because you can't deal with it. You have like 5 days to. You do some stuff ahead of time. You get like your doctor to fill out some crap and like something else, and then like you're in the system. Great. And then when you have the baby, you have 5 days to fill out this other form and send that in to your work or the HR. I don't even know. And then from there, it's that's how you start getting paid for your disability or being on leave. And I remember like having all those papers and like knowing that I had like 1 day left to do it all. And the twins are just like here already.
Twins are like, I need to eat and I'm crying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember crying and being like, Michael, you do it. Just please do it for me because I can't figure it out.
I mean, I won't like get on a soapbox here, but watching my sister deal in a different state where she is not given like leave.
Whoa.
It's just, I'm like, we have some work to do because a new mom with 5 day old babies should not be worried about paperwork.
I know. I know.
Man, it's crazy.
It needs to just be handled by like the hospital or something. Like, I don't know. Like it just needs to be like
you sign something before you leave.
Yeah. Like as soon as like, cause you do fill out a lot of paperwork at the hospital. Like,
right.
And so why can't they just like throw it in there? Like, and this is your leave when this gets sent to your work. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic. Thank you so much. Right. The nerve wracking thing is writing down their names for like the social security card and like all that crap.
Oh my gosh. Like don't spell it wrong. Don't spell anything. Don't write it wrong.
I didn't do any of that for the twins. Michael did all of it. And he was like with his eyeballs, like, all right, make sure I'm doing this right. Cause like one misspelling. Okay,
you were like drugged.
Yeah. I was drugged for like the first 2 days after I had them.
Gosh. How are we feeling on the name? We're done. We're
done.
Solidified.
We're solidified. We're not telling first, anybody. Middle. First and middle, it's done. The spelling is done. I'd be lying if I said I'm not it's not that I'm not
you have
sure.
Moments of hesitation.
I have moments of hesitation, but I think it's because it's such a unique name that I'm just like, is it beautiful? Like, is it like, or do you see it and you're like, oh, so that's where I'm at. But I know that it's beautiful and I love it. And I've never heard it before and I've never heard anybody have it. And
I'm literally so excited.
I know.
Like, this is going to be like the reveal of a lifetime.
But that's the thing. I'm building it up and everyone's just going to be like, oh, that's it? Like, okay. I guess it's okay. I don't know.
No, I think always finding out a baby name, especially when like they're not sharing it throughout the whole pregnancy, whatever, is exciting. Like, it doesn't matter if you've built it up or not. So
I feel like this is like the only time I can keep a secret. You know, it's like I work on a morning show in Los Angeles, California.
We don't have secrets. Like,
we don't have secrets. I share my entire life at all hours of every single day. And on top of that, on social media. So it's like, if I can just have this one secret until she's born, then I think that's cool.
Do you have like the post planned out? Like, have you thought about like how you're going to reveal? Maybe you should think about that.
I should think about that because I remember posting for the twins and that there was like so many people in the room when I was doing it. And Maxim was in NICU and Aza was in the room with us. And so everyone's just like, you know, being loud and I'm like on morphine, like trying to figure out like
the birth of your children.
Kind of. Yeah. And I don't like love what I wrote. Like it was very just like blah. Like I remember like Aza and Max were born. These are their names. They weighed this much. My heart is filled with love. Like it was just so dumb kind of. But
maybe you should write out your caption.
Sure.
Just be ready.
Maybe. But also if I just do an epidural and I have her vaginally, then I might not be as drugged as I was when I had a C-section.
Oh, well, certainly, hopefully not.
I know, right? Me being like, can I have the morphine, please? They're like, man, that's only when you have an operation.
That is not for this.
I just remember them coming. I'm sorry for my cough, you guys. I'm like, it sounds like I am a smoker of 30 years, but I cannot shake this cough.
Your doctor told you is because your body is so busy. Oh,
sorry. Oh, go
just
on.
Having a moment back there. But your body's so busy finishing up this pregnancy that it's having a hard time fighting any like lingering symptoms, right?
It's the worst, dude. I've had 2 COVID tests, tested Michael, I've tested the kids. So it's not COVID.
Good. That's
Thank
great.
God. Great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the kids going to preschool and bringing back all these germs and then it's just attacking my body and my immune system and it sucks. So
it does.
I know. So I'm hocking Lugids all the time and it's
just delicious.
There's no other option. How many times have you like coughed and it gets in your throat and then you just have to re-swallow it because you're like not an area where you could spit?
I mean, probably in my lifetime, like a good handful, but I haven't been sick in like 2 years now.
I'm so jealous of my friends that don't have kids because that was us. Well, maybe don't have kids that go to preschool because that was us until they went to school. And then it's like, who knows what's in this house at this point? I'm literally like cleaning all the knobs with Clorox wipes. And like, it's like we're back at the beginning of the pandemic again.
Right. And you're like, it's really less about that and more about like, I don't want to keep being sick.
But it's also more about that too, because of just like the rates of everything going up. And now they're saying the Delta variant spreads like chicken pox. Like,
oh my God.
We can't handle this.
Have you considered them not going back to school for a bit because of it or no?
No.
Okay.
Because it's like,
curious.
We can't just, no, but the school.
Disrupt their life.
But the school is saying they're getting more strict on kids that have coughs or runny noses or things like that.
Good.
So, and I'm like, great. Because that's what they told us at the very beginning when we brought them in. And they were like, if they have a cough or any symptoms like that, just keep them home, especially a fever. Okay. Right. Makes sense. So then we did that. Then they were better. And then we brought them, or no, we brought them healthy to school. And then they got sick at school. So some kid had something. And then they got better and I brought them back. And then they got sick again. And so it's like, well, people are not following the rules here.
Right.
Don't really know where to go from here. But Aza is still in pretty bad shape. She and I are like the same. We have the same cough right now. We have the same congestion, and it's been like that since the 4th of July for both of us.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
But they're wearing masks at school again now, right?
Yeah, but they're three. So like anytime they even send me pictures of them at school, like Max's mask is like all the way on his chin. And Aza keeps hers on. I'm sure they make her because she's like the coughing kid at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I took her to the doctor yesterday. I'm lying. I made the appointment for the doctor yesterday and Michael took her.
That's great.
And it turns out she has an ear infection again. So,
or it's
the same one. Like she had an ear infection 2 weeks ago. They gave us antibiotics and we gave it to her for 7 days and she seemed better, but she still had the cough. And so then they went and checked her again yesterday. I guess it's even a more intense ear infection. She hasn't been complaining about pain. So we didn't know. And they said they had to up her medicine and give her some stronger stuff. I was like, she is my child.
Oh,
she needs
God,
the strong
God.
Meds. So no, yeah. So we're hopefully like we can nip it in the bud now. But you know what she found? I found interesting with the ear infection thing was that she said that it wasn't like water related. I didn't know you can get an ear infection without swimming or something.
Sinus related, I think.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
All connected.
Yeah, it's from her boogers that she sucks in and then they get stuck in her ear canal.
Gross.
Well, it's true.
Disgusting.
It's probably what
it is. That right there was like the proof of who's a parent here and who isn't because I was like, ew.
It's just like her runny boogers.
I know.
And so,
well,
yeah.
I hope
so
she feels better.
It's like, she and I both feel great. We're like almost used to it now. We're just dealing with it.
Oh,
I feel bad for the baby because every time I cough, my whole stomach probably shakes and contracts for her.
She's like, what are these earthquakes?
Totally. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, look, here's the deal. We are at the end of July.
This could be the last podcast.
What we're going to do while I'm gone is sprinkle in a few of our favorite moments from the last couple years. How far back are we going?
I got a plan, and let's say one goes back to when the twins were born.
Sure.
So 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I know that you can go in and like look for those if you wanted to go back and re-listen to them, but we'll pick a few and maybe we'll compile some of like the best questions that we've had from you guys that we've answered. And make a little podcast. Basically, we're just going to try to make us a few best of podcasts while I'm gone to keep you entertained.
And we might have an episode next week. We don't know.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
And call me crazy. So okay. I can't do anything verbally. Right. I cannot speak on this podcast because it will air on an iHeart platform, which is my job, which was would be illegal for me working during maternity leave.
Right.
What if you and Michael did a
few
podcasts?
I knew you were going to say this.
Oh, you did?
I mean, happy to.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll get a couple bonus episodes in here.
Yeah.
Like me and Michael checking in throughout your maternity leave.
I think that'll be really cool.
Great. Down.
I'm like putting him to work.
Yeah.
Pro bono.
Whatever. It's all the family fun, you know?
Okay. Why don't we get to your questions right now? We got a few of them.
Yes. Yes. Everyone was asking if you're in labor because you posted a story on Instagram last night being like,
not hello. Okay. If you saw the poll, it's like, I haven't checked this morning, but it was like 80 to 20%. Everyone's like, it's Braxton Hicks. Chill.
Okay, good.
I'm like, yeah, good. I know. Let me see.
And then Erin did ask, she said, if you're having like the cramping and such, are you drinking enough water?
Erin, are we married? Because you sound like my husband. Yes, I'm drinking enough effing water. Like, if one more person asks me, no, I am. Look, this container right here holds 40 ounces. I refill this 4 to 5 times a day.
Okay.
And my pee is clear and I am drinking the most water. That's all I drink is water. I don't drink juice. I don't drink other things. Occasional vitamin zero water, which I
sure.
It's my treat. I am drinking a lot of water, and I especially upped it when we went to New York because I had to stay hydrated for the flight and all that jazz. So,
all right.
But well, yeah, I know. And I know the cramping from dehydration. It's not that. It feels completely different with the twins. I thought I was going into labor with them at like 18 weeks. And it turns out I was just majorly dehydrated. Okay. I was like, something is wrong. And it was because I was dehydrated. So
your doctor was like, please drink more water.
Yeah. Me, Michael and I were so clueless. And we still are. But when I had that scare with the twins at like whatever, how many weeks it was very early on, 18, maybe 20 weeks. And it hurt so bad. My stomach, I was just like, oh, like what's happening? He put me in the bathtub with like lukewarm water. Which I don't know if that like relieved any pressure or like.
Was it like take pain off of you?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we read that. But it was just so funny to me to think back and look at that. It's like 2 a.m. We're like, he's throwing me in the bathtub. He's calling the doctor and like, all this shit. Anyways.
Funny how things change.
I don't think it's anything. I'm going to bed.
I don't think it's labor. I'm going to sleep. Okay. Gloria asked, do you get nervous by Aza wanting to do gymnastics at all? They've considered it for their daughters.
No, I grew up competitive cheer and dance and gymnastics. Well, gymnastics, I didn't get too competitive with actual gymnastics. I did gymnastics more to improve my skills in dancing and then ultimately cheer. Mm-hmm. So, in my head, I like would love for my kids to follow in that kind of, you know, what am I trying to think of the word?
In your footsteps?
Not like in my that, footsteps, because I don't want to be that like psycho mom that's like.
Sure. But like, in but the
yes, on that path.
Yeah.
I have a lot. Like, I don't know what she means by nervous. Like, I'm nervous, like she can get injured or something.
Yeah, like the injury.
Sure, whatever. But you can get injured in any sport, soccer, swimming, like anything.
Did you see Simone Biles posting, I think it was last night, about exactly why she did not compete?
I saw so all of
that. That, where she was like, I don't know where I am.
Yeah, the twisties.
In the air, I could fall immediately, like directly on my head, whatever. Like, that's the stuff that would make me nervous. That's beyond a normal sport.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, that's the thing with gymnastics. It's so mental. And I was never at the status of like an Olympian gymnast. Of course, because I basically could just do like a round off layout, round off back tuck. That was like my extent. So it wasn't so much for me, like, I don't know what it's like to fully twist your body in the air and not knowing where you are in the air and how to land, because you're supposed to spot stuff. And so when you do just like a one flip where you're not twisting, you know exactly where you are because you jump up and you spot something and you do your flip and you land. And so It doesn't make me nervous. She's 3 years old, and who knows if she even would like it. Like, we kind of will just take it as a day-by-day situation.
She won't be doing the, like, Simone Biles flips anytime soon.
Until she is, right? Like, she's a prodigy gymnast.
Too late for you to say, this makes me nervous.
It was really cute watching her watch them, though, because getting the kids to watch anything that's not a cartoon is, like, almost non-existent. And so I was like, look, this is the Olympics. Like, this is... These girls are gonna fly. Like, I was trying to describe like what they were doing, and so I was like, look at them. They're gonna jump in the air and they're gonna fly. And so then that was it for her. She was like, Mommy, I want to fly too. I want to fly just like them. And I was like, okay, where do we sign you up? I talked about that on the air today. I was like, I bet you gymnastics gyms probably get this like surge of people calling them right around the Olympics. Everyone wants to put their kids in it.
For sure. I just remember being a little girl and I danced. I never did gym or cheer, but like, I don't think it matters if you're into that stuff. Mm-hmm. Watching them, you're like so into women's gymnastics. It's cool. Last question from Delia. She said, have you gotten the twins dolls so they can learn to be gentle with baby sister?
It's a good idea. They have dolls, so maybe I can just like find the ones they already have so I don't have to buy new ones.
Right, but and be like,
there's this company that, and I'll let you know what they are coming up in the next podcast. But they sent me like a wrap for, you know, it's like those like where it's like a piece of material and you like wrap it around you all a bunch of different ways to hold your baby. And then they sent kid sized ones for Aza and Maxon so that they can also
put their dolls in it
and
adorable.
I know. So I think that that'll be a really nice gift to give them and show them, like, look, you can hold your own baby like this. So,
do you talk to them about like being careful with her yet? Or
I figure I'll just do that when she's here. But
I mean,
maybe
I'm
not
a parent, then maybe.
I mean, I talk to them about being careful with my belly. Like, they know that.
Oh, so they might get that then. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're gonna see her. She's gonna be very. They're so fragile when they're born. They're just like itty bitties. But, yeah. Anyways, it's almost 10 o'clock, you guys, and I have a doctor's appointment at 10:30, and I'm stressing.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Michael's texting me. He's like, when do you want to leave? He sent that at 9:41. And then I didn't respond, and he just wrote, ma'am.
Sorry, Michael. We've been busy planning your work, so we will go now, and we will figure it out later.
All right. Have a good one. Be safe. I will keep you updated. Check my Instagram. Okay, bye.